I said it earlier, and I'd like to say it again. I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening. We have a movie that we're really excited about, and we'd like to show the movie this evening. The movie is Messiah. And to introduce this evening's film and some opening remarks, we have with us Bob Gray. And Bob Gray is from the Associated Bible Students of New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I'll turn this over to Bob.
Thank you very much. Good evening, friends. We are very happy, as was just mentioned, that you could be here with us this evening and join us. You probably realize we're having a conference here, a Bible conference. We have an opportunity to get together for fellowship and study, to hear the word of the Lord and to praise Him in song as you just joined us. We would like to say to you that this is, to us, one of the more beautiful pieces of music that has ever been worked into Scripture and Scripture into it. Those of you who are familiar with it, I might say, I hope you're not disappointed that the entire Messiah is not going to be performed this evening. It's excerpt. On the other hand, for those of you who are very excited about Scripture, you'll probably wish there was more Scripture involved in it, and we can't put everything into a one-hour package, as you could imagine. But we trust that you'll be blessed by it. I can remember the day when I first heard the Handel's Messiah, and I don't know how old I was, but I was in the sixth grade. That goes a long way back. And I was pretty excited about the music back then. But as I got to appreciate the words that Handel had worked into this music, or the music into the words, I began to realize how remarkable it was that the words selected, that the emphasis on the resurrection, that the power of the Lord's Spirit could work and do such a wonderful and mighty work, and then be put to music in such an elegant way, such a glorious way. I always wondered why we couldn't just stop the music in the middle of a production and say, do you know what that scripture means and what it means to you and to the rest of the world of mankind? And that's what I was excited about, and I'm glad someone took the time to put it down in words, connect it together, and give us a chance to listen to glorious music, some beautiful scenery too, by the way, some sections from Israel, and then at the same time to very enthusiastically explain what God is doing for mankind, why he let Jesus go through the experience of suffering, and how this all works into his plans. We are very happy to share this with you. We trust you'll enjoy it. I can remember the very first time I saw it. My wife and I were sitting together in a hall smaller than this, but it was very spectacular to us, very exciting, especially because the scriptural theme, the refrains, were so clear and so focused. And I encourage you to look for the lessons that are being drawn from this libretto and find where this fits into your own heart and mind. And then at the end, we'll have some other comments to make, and we trust that you'll enjoy this, and it'll be a blessing to you. And thank you for being with us for this. Brother Jim.
Messiah is the name given to the descendant of the patriarch Abraham. To Abraham, God made a promise which forms the basis of the entire Bible. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is the hope of Messiah. It is simple. It is enormous in its scope. It is staggering in its import to mankind. It is this hope which George Friedrich Handel set to music.
Thank you.
teachings of the Messiah are complex. To understand the music we are about to hear, we must keep in mind that, according to Scripture, Messiah had two works to do, which would be done at two different times. The first work of Messiah was to die, to pay justice for the original sin. According to the Jewish law, a life for a life. Because of this sacrifice, God rewarded him with a resurrection as a mighty spirit being. Messiah yet lives, not now as a man, not now to suffer. The work of Messiah at his second advent will be to bless all the people of the earth. How can words describe what this will mean? Handel begins the story of the Messiah. John the Baptist, as foretold by the prophet Isaiah, announced Messiah's first advent with a very special message for Israel. The prophet knew that Israel's exclusive favor with God was going to end at the first advent. John comforts Israel with the assurance that after she receives a period of this favor, she would be blessed by the return of Messiah. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
Who can praise
period called the Christian Age, which is between the two advents of Messiah, God has been selecting a few faithful disciples of Messiah who will participate with Messiah in blessing all the people of the world at his second advent. This is the true Christian's hope, to have a spiritual resurrection in heaven with Messiah, rather than a resurrection as a human to enjoy the beauties of a perfected earth. It has been a mystery to all the world that Messiah would not be Jesus alone, but also his disciples with him. Note the words of the Apostle Paul, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." The Old Testament prophets corroborate the thought of a multi-member Messiah. Obadiah says, "Saviors, plural, shall come up on Mount Zion, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." The prophet Malachi shows that the first work of Messiah's second advent at the end of the Christian age is to purify the group that claims to be his disciples. have heard of the glorious prospects of Messiah's second advent and the trouble which just precedes the beauty. Prophecy shows that while this terrible trouble is happening, strangely enough, the world will not recognize it for what it is. They will be in ignorant darkness. Yet, at the same time, the nation of Israel is foretold to be rising from obscurity, and all the world will come to see God's hand in it. The light of Messiah's age will spread until even the dead see it when they are awakened from their sleep. Then, all will know the true meaning of the birth, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus the Messiah, a new government for the earth upon his shoulders. Isaiah describes in moving terms what this peace will mean to all people. What kind of man was Messiah at his first advent? Perhaps most importantly, he was a man, faithful to his charge from God, to die to pay for Adam's sin. This is the Old Testament doctrine of a life for a life. It is the New Testament doctrine called the ransom. God's justice could not excuse Adam's disobedience, and the death penalty fell on Adam and his yet unborn posterity. The man Jesus, however, earned life, being the perfect Son of God and not of Adam, and voluntarily gave up his humanity with its unborn posterity to pay God's justice for the original disobedience. The resurrection was now guaranteed for Adam and his race. The Hebrew Scriptures pictured the work of Jesus in many ways. Among these pictures was the Passover lamb, which delivered Israel from slavery. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, will deliver all the people of the earth from the slavery of death and dying.
Glory, 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 glory
Jesus gave his flesh for the life of the world. Therefore, he gave up his right to live as a perfect man. Because of this sacrifice, God raised Jesus to a new height of being, to sit at his right hand. And now, Jesus, with all power in heaven and earth delegated to him, will be able to accomplish the work of his second advent, blessing all families of the earth and making the earth fruitful. Jesus has remained invisible since his resurrection to test the faith of many, and indeed, faith has greatly disappeared, and the rulers have forgotten his precepts and have made the earth their battleground. Little are they aware that their ruling power is waning because the new king is coming in.
And the rulers, they counsel together against the Lord and his anointed.
There is no stopping the day for which people have so long prayed. God will put an end to wars and uprisings, and Jesus will reign triumphant.
Thank you.
faithful disciples will reign over the earth for 1,000 years to bring it and its inhabitants to perfection. A perfection which will never perish from this earth. The first joyful task of Messiah and his church will include the awakening of the dead, guaranteed by Jesus' death and his subsequent resurrection. Another resurrection termed the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is an invisible resurrection of Jesus' true disciples, who will help him bless all the people of the world. This will fulfill the original promise to Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. These saints will be raised to be like Jesus, immortal, incorruptible. thus the Messiah, with Jesus as its head and his disciples as its body, will be complete. The work of the first advent to ransom mankind has led to the work of the Christian age, bringing together Christ and his church, and the great consummation, the work of the second advent, Messiah's age, will begin. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Worthy is the Lamb.